One of the hardest things to do is to bring a brief word. I think it was a politician was once asked, you know, he said, how long do you need to prepare if you're going? He said, well, I'm speaking for an hour. I can prepare it in an hour. He said, if I'm speaking for 15 minutes, it probably takes me 2 or 3 hours. And to speak for 5 minutes is almost impossible. What do you leave out? What don't you put in? But as I was thinking about this very first communion service in this format, I mean, we take communion every Sunday, but in a different format. And I thought, if I asked you the question, how did communion originate? You know, why do we take communion? Most people will go back to the Last Supper and look at Jesus asking for them to go and find a room where they could celebrate the Passover meal. But I want to take you further back than that. Because if you look in Scripture, I've got this great principle that a friend of mine, Ken McGreevy, taught me. He said, look at the law of first mention. When was anything first mentioned in Scripture? And it's surprising how much is mentioned in Genesis. If you want to look at worship, go back to Genesis. If you want to look at communion, it's quite surprising that you find the first mention in Genesis. And there is a common thread. There's a thread running through the whole of Scripture. And that thread is Jesus. All the way through we see Jesus pictured. You know, if I spoke on Joshua for any length of time, I would tell you that it's part of the Hebrew name. That the name of Jesus comes from. It's Joshua. And so on. And the great thing, I'm going to dash about a little bit, I know, but I want to read a couple of scriptures that will show how important Jesus is, not just in the New Testament of salvation, but for all time. So our first scripture is from Hebrews chapter 1, and I'll just read the first few verses. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. And a very similar passage, and you might have to stop me if I go on too long because I just love Colossians. But Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 15, I'll try and only read the next five verses. He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or authorities, rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So very quickly, Jesus is the exact representation of God. Jesus came on earth. And that's important because, you know, when... Well, maybe if I add it quickly, this one of the scriptures I was taken to was when Abraham was told to go to Mount Moriah to take his son and sacrifice him. And Isaac went and said, as they were walking up the mountain, he said, but where's the sacrifice? And Abraham said to him, God will provide for himself a sacrifice. And one translation says, and God will provide himself a sacrifice. And you see that God is providing himself. Jesus is the exact representation of God. So God is providing God as a sacrifice for us. And Jesus became that purification for sin. The first mention is of communion. comes a little bit earlier on in Genesis 14. And I'll just very quickly read that for you. I see my time's almost gone already. I should have said "and finally" right at the beginning, because as you know, all speakers go on for at least another 5 minutes after they've said "and finally." But Genesis 14:18 says, "Then Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abraham, saying, 'Blessed be Abraham by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand.'" Very briefly, Melchizedek, the king of Salem, that is Jerusalem in modern terms. And interesting, the name Melchizedek comes from two Hebrew words, Melech, meaning king, and Zadok, meaning righteousness. So Melchizedek, the king of righteousness, the king of Jerusalem, brought bread and wine as a celebration of what God had done thousands of years before. But God is setting a pattern. God is setting a pattern. A pattern that was actually enshrined before the world was created. And so right from the beginning, through the scriptures, is a scarlet thread of communion, of taking bread and wine, and the righteousness of God coming through. It is just amazing. God will provide for himself a lamb. And when we take bread and wine, we take that because it reminds us of the glory of God's righteousness, of Jesus becoming the purification for our sins. And God saying, you know, when Jesus on the cross, those last words of Jesus, "It is finished. It's done." The perfect work that was started before the creation of the world came to its fullness on the cross. And the cross is like a fulcrum, and the Old Testament and everything God planned comes into being and swings on that fulcrum into the New Testament, so that we can take the blessing of the sacrifice of Jesus for us. There's lots more things I could say, but my time's gone. And that's not to rush away from communion this morning. That's to give us more time to be in the blessed presence of God. I'll just share one last thing with you, because I've got to. And that is, you know, that when God, from the very first Passover, went over the children of Israel in Egypt, they daubed the doorposts with blood. At the top of the doorpost and at the two signs, the two sides. Thousands of years later, right next to Mount Moriah, where Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac, is Golgotha. And on Golgotha, there were three crosses. One at each side, and one across the top, covered with blood for our sin. Amen.